Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown. Georgia Southern.
Pass swings on the way. It's gone! It is well with my stolen Montgomery! Georgia Southern wins!
Welcome to Georgia Southern Extra. I'm your host, Nathan Dominitz, and we're ready to start the 2021 season with the Georgia Southern Eagles. And with our guest today is a familiar name, a familiar face to anyone around Statesboro, and recent graduate of Georgia Southern University with several degrees, I'm sure, McLean Baxley. McLean was co-host of this show last year, did a great job, did most of the work. I'm sorry to see him go. But now McLean is not only a graduate of Georgia Southern, but he has moved on to his first job as a full-time reporter with the Athens Banner Herald. McLean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for, you say welcome, but I'm coming back, I feel like.
That's right. Welcome back.
Homecoming, yeah.
That's right. Well, you always have a place here, and you dressed appropriately, and people watch the video, so we're ready to go. Tell us about your new job at the Athens Banner Herald before we get to the Eagles.
Yeah, so I started, this is my third week with Athens Banner Herald, so I'll be covering UGA recruiting. And also high school recruiting in Athens area. So we've got about 17 high schools. It's mostly 95% football. Some basketball here or there. But yeah, so whenever Kirby Smart's got a new guy on his radar, I know first, and we're reporting on that. And so it's been a fun learning curve. Definitely different than Statesboro and Georgia Southern, but I'm enjoying it so far.
Well, you're a very hard worker. I just want to know, do you ever get any sleep? Because these high school kids are always awake.
Yeah, they don't keep their reporters in mind when they're committing or dropping their lists and stuff. We had a kid Saturday night. He chose to commit at 7:00 p.m. Saturday night, a random Saturday. This kid from North Carolina. So that was fun. But no, it's been good. It's been nice. It's been what I expected and what I wanted.
Well, I hope there is some sort of break in there eventually, maybe not in a 7-day period, but maybe at some point in the calendar year, you can actually not be on Twitter or any kind of social media or on the phone or on a computer trying to keep up with the world. But I'm sure the readers are already grateful to have somebody watching out for them with all the signings, because Georgia football and the kids around Athens, there's a lot of great talent, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're still in the fold. You're still at a Gannett paper. We're a Gannett paper, and of course, having worked with you last year, I'm really happy for you to be working full time and doing great. So, congratulations. I know we're talking today about a topic near and dear to your heart, a topic you know very well. Besides a lot of other topics I could name, but Georgia Southern football in particular. You covered the team as a beat more or less for 5 years, right?
Yeah, I mean, I started with spring sports in the spring of 2017, and then starting that fall 2017, every football year I was doing it.
And I know you've written about some of your favorite memories. When you think about Georgia Southern football, what's the first image or vision that comes into your head?
Probably Chet Lunsford, doing something crazy or talking to him. I know, when I was leaving, back in May and April, I wrote a couple columns about, my favorite stuff and favorite memories, covering the teams and living in Statesboro. It was just such a personable, I know it's kind of a cliche, but I mean, Lunsford and Coach Howard of women's basketball, Jared Finko, the AD, they made you feel welcomed. Obviously we still kept the objectivity, things happen, we still covered them and covered them fairly and honestly. I think there was just such a great respect for everyone in there about what I was doing as a reporter and both as a student and as a professional reporter.
That's excellent. And you got to see a lot of wins for Georgia Southern and some tough losses. Last season was, to quote Chad Lunsford, the head coach, a roller coaster ride. I talked to him yesterday and we covered some ground about last year and what's coming up this year. A lot of close wins, a lot of close losses. I recommended fans get their hearts checked because it was going to be a test every Saturday. I think there was only one game, the UMass game, that was kind of a cakewalk. Everything else was you didn't know until the last play a lot of times who was going to win.
Yeah, it was definitely me. It made, fortunately, we didn't have many deadline days, but, fortunately, we didn't have to work on that too much. Because like you said, it went down to the last play, last quarter. I guess the bowl game against Louisiana Tech was right. A blowout, and then the UMass game where they shut out the Minutemen in their first game of the season. So,
very good.
Yeah, man. I mean, even, the FCS game against Campbell where they had 33 guys out and, two rivalry games against App State and Georgia State. I mean, every game was a nail-biting win or loss.
Yeah, so they went 8-5 last season, including the bowl win over Louisiana Tech in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. That was a great way for the team to end the season and build momentum toward this year on what was a really long year for a lot of reasons. When we kicked off the podcast last season, we tried to talk about the summer between the pandemic, testing, player availability, players not being on campus. There were social injustice issues that came up worldwide that were brought home to campus. Just a lot going on. And then there was football, and the Campbell game was the season opener. And like you said, they were missing 33 players, I believe, mainly for contact tracing, but also usual reasons like injuries and coach's decision. But it was pretty much that was my welcome to in-person Georgia Southern games. And that game went down to the onside kick against a team that they were supposed to, on paper, handle relatively easily. So when you look at last season, a lot of close wins. The Army game was one they probably felt they should have won. The Louisiana game was one they probably felt they should have won with the great comeback. But they also could have lost to Campbell. They could have lost to ULM, right?
Troy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it tells you about the nature of when you live on the edge like that, you're going to – just the probabilities are going to kind of work for you or against you just as the ball bounces. So you don't want to leave it up to that. But what did you like about the team last season, which was Shai Wirtz's 11th year starting – no, fourth year starting. Shai Wirtz now at Louisville as a wide receiver in that extra COVID year, that extra super senior year. So he's not here. But think about last year as we cover ground – before we get to this season, what did you think about that end of an era for Shai Wirtz?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was kind of in one way it was kind of a closing. You had like that the bowl win. We talked about it both writing and also on podcast and on social media and stuff about how that bowl win. You had Shai Wirtz, his last game. You had Raymond Johnson's last game, and it was just kind of like a perfect, like, here's the tying the bow on your Georgia Southern career, go out with a bang. And especially for Shai Wirtz, a guy that was the guy for 4 years and was constantly dealing with injury, dealing with off the field stuff that wasn't his his creation. It wasn't by choice. And so for him to come back, we didn't even know until he stepped on the field that he was going to be starting.
Right.
Come out and have that performance and just wrap it up. And obviously, I think with when some guys transfer schools, I think there's in the fan base is a bit of a grudge, like, oh, why did you just use Georgia Southern as like a stepping stone? But I think for Shai Wirtz and even a little bit Kendrick Duncan, but I mean especially Shai, like he did 4 years and he went from the 0-11 2-10 team 2017 to the next year, winning a bowl game and 10 win season to last year, again, winning a bowl game, having 8 wins in a really weird, uncomfortable season. So, I think when he left and we decided to go, cause he wants to go to the NFL and obviously as a quarterback in an option system, that's not going to happen really. I can't even think of the last quarterback who went to the NFL and played quarterback from an option team. Obviously you had, Jared McKinnon, who's now a running back in the NFL,
right.
And he was a quarterback at Southern. So,
right.
Yeah, so it was a good wrapping. But you also had you introduced. I feel like it's like a transition show. Where you leave some characters behind and then you pick up new ones, like Derek Canteen, Anthony Wilson, Justin Ellis. Really had kind of a breakout year last year, and these guys that are setting up for this 2021 season.
Yeah, and another quarterback, Jason Foster, going a few years back, who was excellent at Georgia Southern, and then I guess they thought he'd have to do the wide receiver, running back, kick returner, or Canadian Football League route. But it is tough. It is tough come out of a triple option offense when you don't have a pro quarterback's arm and the experience. And so, you know, for Shywertz to try to become a wide receiver at this point in his career, I guess it's the, I think it's a great strategy for him. It did leave an interesting situation for quarterbacks, which we could probably spend an hour talking about, but we won't take an hour, but we will talk about it. But one last thing. So you look at 8-5, and then you look at how Georgia Southern has expectations every year to be a winning team, to win or compete for the conference title, win the conference title, play in bowl games is now the expectation. I don't want to say what if they had lost that bowl game, because the Louisiana Tech was supposed to be a really tight contest there. But if they go 7-6, we're talking at a different tone. 8-5 coming off a win. I think they beat who they were supposed to beat, and they almost beat some teams they weren't supposed to beat. I don't think at Army they were favored. I don't think at Louisiana, a ranked Louisiana, they were anywhere close to being favored by anyone to win that game. And it took, a 53-yard field goal on the last play for Louisiana to win?
Yeah.
So what did you think? In the grand scheme of things, what does 8-5 say about how Chad Lunsford's program is, what direction they're going?
I think it is crazy, because the year before they did go 7-6. They did, you know, in that year their losses were to national champion LSU. Mm-hmm. They still lost to Georgia State, but then they, you know, beat App State, a ranked App State team on the road. And so you had then like you said, you ended with a really ugly, really boring game against Liberty in Orlando. Fast forward a year, pretty much the same record. You still lose to Georgia State. You actually lose to your other rival, App State. And you lose to a couple of, two ranked conference teams, both on the road. But like you said, you end with that, 30 plus, victory, in a bowl game. And I think the fans, obviously, like you said, there's that expectations because, of 20 years ago where they were, winning conferences, winning national championships every year. And they have yet to even really be in the hunt for a conference championship since 2014, right, when they came out and won 8-0. Or went 8-0 in conference to win the Sun Belt their first year here. So I think there's still, I think that was like, we can win conference championships at the division or at FBS level, but we can't do it. We haven't done it since, because I think if you look back at the years even before the conference championship game, the Sun Belt championship game came into play, there was no real season that they were ever really in the hunt for it.
Yeah. And I'll ask you about if Chad Lunsford is indeed on a hot seat. That's been a popular national topic. I'll let you stew about that a little bit. And I'm going to take a break to talk about this Phantom Morning News. So pardon me, McLean. We'll be right back with McLean in a minute. But I'm going to let you know that I'd like to plug the best source for local news in Savannah. That's the Savannah Morning News and SavannahNow.com. You want to know the latest on Georgia Southern football, like we've been talking about, or which high school football teams are hot and which are not in the Coastal Empire? How about the Savannah State Tigers and how football is back on the marsh full time after all the stops and starts with the pandemic? Well, we have coverage of that and more, including news, features, and opinion columns. And if you aren't a subscriber, now's the time to try us out. You can get full access to our digital content for, get this, $1 a month for the next 6 months. $1 for 6 months. Go to SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and sign up. That's SavannahNow.com/subscribe now and sign up. And now we'll welcome back in our second part of the show. We'll welcome back McLean. He probably had a nice, cold, refreshing beverage. And we're back. So McLean, we were talking about, is Chad Lunsford actually on a hot seat? I sat across from him yesterday. He was sitting down. I don't think his seat was hot in terms of maybe the here and now. But if things don't start well, and it's a very difficult schedule in 2021 on paper, if things start a little rough, I assume people are going to start questioning things, or maybe they always do. But do you think that there's going to be a fair reckoning of this season, or people already built up expectations and biases?
I think it's interesting. So this is going to be his fourth full year. He coached half the season in 2017, that tumultuous 2-10 mm-hmm. year. But so this is his fourth full season, and he came out of the gate and went 10-3, beat App State, beat Georgia State, and then won a bowl game. I mean, that's I don't know if that was his fault or not, but he came out of the gate swinging and hasn't lived up to that season yet. Like you said, this is a very challenging year But you do have Coastal and Louisiana in Statesboro. I mean, those, mm-hmm. and I think that, I don't know if that helps or hurts Georgia Southern and Chad Lunsford, because, you know, they're preseason ranked. That's never happened before. There's two Sun Belt teams that are ranked, and so I mean, nationally, they're in the conversation of, you know, some of the best teams in G5. You know, every year leading up to that, I think there'd be one team. You know, you have most of the time it was App State. You know, that was, oh, can they make the playoff, or can they make mm-hmm. the New Year's Six Bowl from the Sun Belt? And now you've got two teams that are really pushing that conversation, and for several years now they've been the standard, or Coastal especially very recently. So I think it's been shown that they can reach national relevance. And so I don't know if that hurts you know, Chad Lunsford and George Southern, because you see that your, you know, division two of your division rivals, you know, in App State and Coastal, have done it year in and year out. Or if it helps them that, hey, there's these two really good teams that are, you know, that's at least, you know, one loss, you know, if you split that series on your schedule. So it's an interesting complex right now.
Yeah, I think you're right. You do want them at home, and that meant that they did play them on the road, and App State was here, but Louisiana on the road was a tough one, and that was a very competitive game, as we've discussed, as people saw. The Coastal Carolina game was even until the fourth quarter, and then that teal blue field really heated up, and I mean that literally. It was very hot on the field, and they just faltered in the fourth quarter. The other side made big plays, as Coastal Carolina had all year, and they were even using their backup quarterback with Grayson McCall out that game. And I think people really like Coastal Carolina because they have so many guys back, including Grayson McCall, who's going to be an All-American consideration, maybe even a Heisman consideration, playing a marquee position. Hey, he's only a second year freshman.
True sophomore.
So, yeah. So no, but he's really good. But they also I don't call him a 1 year wonder, but their sample size is very short compared to a Mississippi. Compared to an Appalachian State or even a Louisiana, which kind of gets lost sometimes in the when people are talking about the Sun Belt. But obviously, very good team with a very hot coach and Billy Napier. Could be coaching an SEC school if you wanted to right now. So having some of the best teams at home playing BYU here in Statesboro, that's going to be opportunities. And I talked to Chad Lunsford yesterday. I said, "How do you like your schedule?" And he said, "With all the quarterback situation, which we'll get to in a moment, but." You open with an FCS school in Gardner-Webb, and you open at home, and you don't have a quarterback who's ever started a game starting for you, starting a college game, starting for you on Saturday. So he said that's the part he likes. He's not going to call it a warm-up. He's not going to downgrade Gardner-Webb. And after what happened with Campbell last year, I don't blame him. There's so much unpredictability. But I think it's to their advantage to open, get the kinks out, see who can do what by playing, not by opening against Clemson like Georgia is, but open, and they're coming from a different position, a different momentum, but opening against Gardner-Webb, seeing what happens with the rookie quarterback, whoever it is, and then see if you can get through that non-conference schedule of Gardner-Webb, Florida Atlantic, at Florida Atlantic, which is going to be tough, at Arkansas, which there will be no expectation, I assume, for Georgia Southern to come through. And then you got the conference schedule, and hopefully you got some momentum, you got some stuff in place. So their schedule is probably as difficult as one I can remember on paper, but they also have the calendar kind of gives them a shot.
This schedule is very similar, in my opinion, to the 2018 schedule. 2018, they opened against South Carolina State, an FCS school, then they hosted UMass, you know, an FBS team. And then they went to Clemson, who ended up winning the national championship that year. So very similar as far as they got an FCS team at home. They play another, you know, G5 team, and they go to, you know, a Power 5 school. And it's obviously a lot different. You know, Clemson, like I said, you know, was a top two team, really, when they played them and ended up winning the national championship that year. Arkansas, I don't think, is going to be even playing in a bowl game this year, but still an SEC opponent and still – you know, that road environment, a 4 o'clock kick, Eastern. But yeah, then they get right. And then in 2018, they had a bye week, and then they hosted Arkansas State. And that's where you had the crazy, you know, Wesley Kennedy misdirection that ended up winning, walking off the game. So very similar schedule to that as far as, you know, who's playing where. Obviously, you know, they will also have like we said, you know, they'll have Louisiana, Georgia State, and Coastal Carolina all in Paulson Stadium as the year goes on. And those are three teams that have you struggled against. Especially last year.
So if you've got everything going for you, you've got a healthy team, you've got the home field, that, and you got a team that might be ranked or probably ranked with a couple of those. If they don't kind of beat each other up during the season, I think that's a conversation for another show. Let's get to the quarterback situation. We're taping this on Tuesday afternoon. On Monday afternoon, Chad Lunsford said that he knows who the starter's going to be. He's not going to tell us. He's not going to tell the public. Guess that's a strategy. But also, you can expect two quarterbacks to play, maybe three. And with the three we're talking about, true freshman Cam Ransom, who looks the part, redshirt freshman Sam Kenderson, who got hurt last year, didn't play a whole lot, maybe two snaps behind offense, a couple on special teams. And then a transfer from Tulane, Amari Jones, who came here to be a running back, wide receiver, kick returner, punt returner, is already preseason all Sun Belt in at least one organization's mind because of his sheer talent. And he's going to be asked perhaps to run some sort of wildcat or who knows what on a given play to be the quarterback. He definitely has what Chad Lunsford has said he likes about him is he's played in front of the big lights. He understands the whole game atmosphere, and he's not going to be getting butterflies. And the other guys, he expects them to have some butterflies getting behind center. But what do you like about the quarterback situation, and what are you really wondering about the quarterback situation?
I'll be shocked if it isn't Cam Ransom taking first team snaps. Like you said, he's a guy that, you know, highly recruited, had several Power Five offers coming out of Florida, high school in Florida. But he, had a lot of potential. Like you said, he's 6'3", 215, a perfect, very similar to, a Shy Words or an Army or Navy guy that can run, and he has the throw if necessary, because you can do. Like, George Center is in a luxury right now where they've got several good skill position players, and receiver in the slot. So I'll be shocked if Cam Ransom isn't the guy starting the game. Obviously, if he gets out there, looks cold or looks nervous. I mean, I expect Sam Kenderson to play as well, just because he's been here for 2 years now. I mean, he was the guy that when Shy went down last year and then Tomlin went down against Georgia State, he went in for two snaps before getting injured. And he's a smaller dude. He understands the program and understands, what's expected and everything. So, if I was a gambling man, I'm not a gambling man. But if I was a gambling man, I would put a lot of money on Cam Ransom starting on Saturday against Garner Webb.
Well, I think they also, we haven't seen them play obviously behind center, but they offer a change of pace. Cam Ransom's more of a thrower, a lot more of a thrower than Sam Kenderson has shown so far. And he also can run, like you said, he's also big and powerful, but if they want him to throw from the pocket and throw deep or throw short, if he's kind of got that in a groove there, and then you bring Sam Kenderson in and he could maybe, the quarterback option might be him a lot. That's what we saw in the scrimmages where he decided to tuck the ball under his arm and take off. And I know the rules on the scrimmage are don't touch the quarterback. So we didn't see people going all out, but he definitely looks quick, and he definitely knows how to operate in open space.
I also see this as a, like I said, this is Lunsford's fourth year, so these are all guys that he recruited. He recruited most of the guys because he was, very prevalent, under the previous, head coaching staffs. But I mean, this is his team. This was his guy, a guy that when Ransom committed, it was kind of a big deal. He was a three-star, I'm pretty sure. From Florida, a very football heavy state. And so if he can be like, here's my guy, and we're gonna see this guy go the next 3 or 4 years, and see him develop, and that's how you kind of judge me. Because I think a lot of times coaches are judged by their quarterbacks. If Ransom can be that guy, starts 3 or 4 years, like we saw with Shy, like we saw with what's his name? Guy that had the two quarterback system back in 2015.
Oh, Upshaw and Ellison?
Ellison, yeah. I mean, those guys came in as freshmen and sophomores, and they worked their way into senior year to again with a bowl winning game in their career. So that's fully how I expect this.
Well, I'm sure they would like a good problem to have with a hot freshman quarterback and then Justin Tomlin there to try to win back the position that seemed to be almost handed to him in the preseason. Now, Justin Tomlin, just as a reminder, had some academic issues. He's getting suspended for the first two games of the season. He said that he's back in good academic standing and will be eligible for game three, which is at Arkansas. Not an easy chore, especially for a quarterback that hadn't played in a game since being injured last year against, what, Appalachian State?
Yeah.
So it's been a while, but he definitely was the smoothest of all the quarterback candidates in spring and in the fall. So there's only so many snaps to go around, but I think this is an optimistic view of things. We know what a pessimistic would view, where you have shaky quarterback play, and then you have all those good running backs. You have a pretty Webb solid defensive back.
And if Gardner Webb comes out like Campbell did, and it's a game where, I mean, I think you know, a lot of, I think the narrative would be to treat this game like a scrimmage, like a spring game, and see what you have. You know, maybe even Amari Jones gets some reps at quarterback, or maybe, you know, Najee Thompson or Caleb Hood get some Wildcat stuff going, as they probably could. But yeah, I mean, I think for George Center fans' sakes and Lunsford's sakes, I think they're going to treat this like it's a practice or a scrimmage, and see what they have before going on the road to FAU and Arkansas.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting season. Like you said, the schedule looks very tough. The team has a lot of obvious strengths and some question marks, starting with the quarterback. And we're almost out of time, so I do want to ask you about a little bit about, well, for Gardner Webb's sake, it's an FCS team. Just real quick, they played a spring schedule because of the pandemic. They went 2-2. They lost the two Big South Conference teams, but they got a lot of Division I talent. If you talk to people about Gardner Webb at quarterback, on the defensive line, at running back, they lost some wide receivers and transfer portal, but they got some others coming in. So there's some guys that the talk is that these guys could play for Georgia Southern or against Georgia Southern, and they just happen to be at Gardner Webb. So having lived through several Georgia Southern seasons in person, do you have any kind of nervousness about this game? Is there something like, hey, they need to be prepared, they shouldn't take anybody lightly, and especially your season opener?
Well, yeah, I mean, just recently, you know, since I've been covering the team in 2017, people will remember they lost to an FCS team against New Hampshire in Birmingham to the second game of the season. And then, like you said, last year, you know, they were one onside kick or one you know, 2-point conversion away from losing the season opener to another FCS team. Mm-hmm. So they should not be taking any team lightly. I think where this game is going to be dictated is going to be how George Southern's offense gets into a rhythm with the quarterback, with the offensive line, with the, you know, moving parts and new faces and new places, because I think the defense should be okay. Honestly, yeah. Maybe I think that defensive line is going to be one of the top ones in not just Sunbelt, but I think in, you know, group of five. And then, you know, you've got for the first time, I mean, I'm going to knock on some wood for George Southern fans, but for the first time in a long time, you've got a committed backfield, defensive backfield, you know, with, you know, Derek Canteen. He's an All-American, you know, nod. You know, Daryl Baker's got tons of experience, Justin Birdsong as well. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of depth and experience there in the backfield. So I don't think defense is going to be a problem. I think it's going to be scoring. You know, if they have to get into a you know, field goal situation like we saw several times, I think it was at Louisiana where they missed a couple of field goals and that ended up being the difference. So I mean, if the offense can score and move the ball like they want to, I mean, I think it should be a pretty comfortable win for the Eagles.
Yeah, just to run down the lineup, I've got it online right now on SavannahNow.com. Sent online earlier, I had Chad Lunsford's tentative starting lineup, quarterback of course being a big question mark, but you know, you got dependable. There's a lot of seniors, redshirt seniors. There's a couple 6-year guys. There's a couple 5th-year guys, seniors that, you know, you get. You lost Kendrick Duncan. You lost another to South Carolina, another defense back's name is escaping me. But you have Derek Canteen back, Anthony Wilson, Daryl Baker, and Birdsong, Justin Birdsong at the safety, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure I get my names right. I don't want to. Yeah, Justin.
And I know that, like you said, there's a lot of experience as well on that offensive line. But I think that's something, especially in the option, that if your offensive line is not moving correctly, if they're not gelling together, you're screwed. And I think while a lot of these guys are juniors and seniors, redshirt juniors here and there, I mean, working together and you know, getting the snap count right with whatever quarterback's back there, you know, multiple quarterbacks I expect throughout the season, even when, you know, Tomlin or whoever ends up being, you know, definitive guy. I mean, George Center is not one to, you know, get away from the Wildcat or having J.D. King take snaps or whatever. So, I mean, it's going to be a fun season. I think their shakiest part, like I mentioned a little bit, is that special teams. You know, obviously Anthony Beck's the guy, but I mean, between, you know, Alex Rayner and Britton Williams and a new long snapper, I mean, that could be.
Yeah, and just as a local note, Lunsford did say it's between Alex Rayner and Britton Williams. They're still sorting through that. Britton Williams is a freshman out of Richmond Hill High School with a good pedigree and a strong leg. Anthony Beck, like I said, is that all-conference candidate every year at punter from South Effingham. Their new long snapper replacing, you know, an all-conference long snapper is Mark Langston from South Savannah Christian. By way of transfer, I think, from Kennesaw State. So they've got and the half the offensive line is going to be new starters. They've got Brian Miller and Aaron Dowdell back, but Caleb Kelly and Khalil Crowder, thank you. They're right now penciled in as the starters. And like I said, there are a lot of familiar names back there. I should be more familiar. But anyway, we're coming to the end of the show. I think we want McClain to come back every week, but we're going to give him a little bit of a break because we can't pay him that much. So, yeah. McClain, thanks for being a guest. A wonderful time again. I hope you enjoyed it. Talking Georgia Southern football is one of your expertise areas amongst many. And I really thank you for your time. And I hope everybody enjoyed listening to the first podcast of the season. We'll be back every week with Georgia Southern Extra. Thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Oh, he will. Adrian Peterson is taking care of things right now.
To Wesley Fields. Touchdown, Georgia Southern.